Today's Shia is Masechta Chagiga, Daf Chav Zayin. And we'll begin at the bottom of Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph, the last Mishnah of the Masechta. Keitzad Mavir Maltaras Azara. As we learned yesterday, because we were concerned that during Yontif, Amaratzim entered the Azara and made a Tomei, and as we explained yesterday, made it even Tomei, perhaps Tumas Meis, that requires Hazor's Shlish Yishvi. The Lachas Matbil Mazakelim Shoi B'Migdash, they retrieved everything that was there. However, Imram Lahem, they would tell the Kahanim, his haru shloitigu b'shulchan. Don't touch the shulchan. Because as we're going to learn in the Gemara, Mitzvashem, soon, the shulchan had to remain constantly in the Beis HaMikdash. And if the shulchan, with the lechem upon him on it, and if the shulchan will become tamei, they'll have to take it out to be tovel it. Can't be tovel it with loaves of bread in it, and you would not be able to have the halachic requirement to have lachem upon him in the shulchan all week long. Tosfos discusses who exactly are we concerned made a tamei. The shulchan's in the Beis HaMikdash. Only kahanim are allowed to walk into the Beis HaMikdash. So Tosfos says we're concerned that kohen ha'aretz walked in to the Beis HaMikdash, and kohen ha'aretz is no different than a Yisrael ha'aretz. We consider him, and we have to be concerned that he made something tamei. And the Mefarshim explained Pshat and Tosfos, perhaps we don't let the Kahanim who are Meratzim do the Avoida. So they explain, even if we could accomplish that and not allow them to do Avoida, we can't prevent them from walking in. Kahanim were allowed to walk into the Beis HaMikdash l'shtachavos, to bow down. And when they would walk in, they would touch perhaps the Shulchan. Says the Mishnah, Kol HaKelim Shai B'Migdash, all the Kelim that were in the Migdash, Yesh Lem Shniyim B'Shlishim. They had backups. Two or three sets of each keli. Shem nitmu harishonim. If the first keli became tamei, yuviu shneim tachtayim, they have something to replace it with. The Mefarshim point out that this doesn't only apply to the kelim; it also applies to the bigdei kahuna. They had backup that if something happened to the bigdei kahuna, they should have extra bigdei kahuna available. However, they do say that the tzitz and the urim v'tumim, they probably did not have extras. There was one tzitz and one urim v'tumim. I saw a beautiful vart. The Mishnah says, Kol HaKelim Shehoyu B'Migdash Yesh Lahem. We don't have the Kelim. It should have said, Hoyu Lahem. All the Kelim that were in the Beis HaMikdash had backups. Why does it say Yesh Lahem? Mefarshim explained, the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash still exist. We don't necessarily see them, and we don't know where they are. But wherever they are, they still exist, and they are Mechaper, whatever they are supposed to accomplish for us, they accomplish for us. Yesh Lahem. They still exist. We have that power, that Koyach is within Klal Yisrael still. Furthermore, teaches us the Midrash, Mishnah, Kol HaKelim Shehayu B'Migdash Tumim Tefillah, as we just learned, any keli in the Beis HaMikdash that becomes Tamei, or were concerned became Tamei, had to be getoiveled, Chutz Min Mizbech Hazav and Mizbech Nechoshes. Besides the two Mizbechos, Bnei Sheik and Karka, they're treated like Karka, that never becomes Tamei. Divrei Rabbi Elazar, Chamarim Bnei Shem Mitzupin, because they're plated, and the Gemara will explain what the Cham means. Mefarshim ask, the Mishnah calls the Mizbeach, which we know as the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. Ask Mefarshim, when Moshe Rabbeinu had built the Mishkan, the Mizbeach that was in the Azor was made out of Nechoshes, was made out of copper, was plated with copper. But the Mizbeach that Shlomo HaMelech made, which is the Mizbeach that the Mishnah probably refers to, was made out of stone. So why is it called Mizbeach HaNechoshes? It should be called Mizbeach HaEven. So there is one sheet that's Machlaikis, well, Mitzvashem learn it, that says that even Shlomo HaMelech's Mizbeach, that he made out of stone, he plated with copper. Another pshat is that the Mishnah is indeed referring to the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu built. We're going back to the times of the Mishkan. But yet a third teretz, which is a good way to end the last Mishnah of Masechta Chagiga, of Seyed HaMoed, is that the Mizbeach that Moshe Rabbeinu built was made out of Nechoshes. Mizbeach that Shlomo HaMelech built was made out of stone. But the Mizbeach that we will have in the next Beis HaMikdash when Mashiach comes will again be Mizbeach Nechoshes. So we end the Masechta and we talk about the Mizbeach. We call it the Mizbeach HaNechoshes because that's the Mizbeach that we're hoping we're going to see very soon. So the Mishnah said that we warned the Kohanim, we warned everybody not to touch the Shulchan because we can't afford to let it get Tamei. Tana we learned in the Braisa, his Haru, they announced his Haru Shem Atigu B'Shulchan Uba Menorah. They weren't only careful about the Shulchan, they were also careful about the Menorah. ask the Gemara, "Tana d'don, my Tana loy menayra? Why didn't Amish mention menayra? Amish only mentions the shulchan." Answers the Gemara, "Shulchan ksebe tamid." Regarding the shulchan, the Torah says tamid. You always have to have the shulchan there. So as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, if it becomes tamid, we're going to have a problem. And if the Mefarshim goes a step further, even though we know the Gemara says that Shlomo HaMelech, the Pasuk says, Shlomo HaMelech built 10 shulchanos, but there was the one primary shulchan that had the lechem upon him on it that had to be kept tar. Menorah, on the other hand, likes to be tamid. But the menorah doesn't say tamid. So therefore, if the menorah becomes tamay, we'll have to take it out and make it tahar and then bring it back. As Tosfos, how can we say the menorah doesn't say tamid? It says in the pasuk that we have to light the menorah tamid every day. So Tosfos answers that when Torah says that you have to light the menorah every day, it means every night. Every night you have to light the menorah. But by day, the menorah doesn't have to be lit. So by day, we could take it out to toivel it. But there are Rishonim that argue with Tosfos. Some Rishonim say that not all of the candles had to be lit by day and by night, but the Ner Meravi had to be lit both by day and by night. Other Rishonim say that all 8 candles had to be lit by day and by night. So if that's the case, and the definition of Tamid by the Shulchan is the same as the definition is that by Menorah is the same as by Shulchan, so of course, how can one have the Menorah get Tamid if you have to have the candles on all the time? So Mefarshim explained that even according to those Rishonim that said that we had to light the Menorah all the time, what it means to say is that whenever the Menorah is there, it has to be lit. But if the menorah is not there, it doesn't have to be lit. On the other hand, by the shulchan, there's a mitzvah that the shulchan with the lechem upon him should be there all the time. And now understand that there are 2 definitions of the word tamid. One word of the definition of the word tamid is all the time. That's the shulchan. Another definition of the word tamid is every day, but not necessarily all the time. Where do we find that word tamid? By the best example of tamid, carbon tamid. The carbon tamid we bring twice a day, but it's not all the time. It's only in the morning and the afternoon when we bring the carbon. Vidach, the other mandam that says that the menorah is treated like the shulchan, what's the basis for that psak? Kivin iksiv es menorah noichach ha-shulchan, the parasuk puts the menorah next to the shulchan, command iksiv me tamidami. So it's like the shulchan has to be tamid, so too the menorah. Vidach, and the other mandam says that what did this pasuk teach us? Hahu l'kvayla mokum hudasa. It's only coming to teach us where the menorah should be placed, but not that it has to be the tamid like the shulchan has to be. And the other mandama, the Sikh Yitzchak explains, says from this pasuk of Es Menorah Noichach HaShulchan, we can learn both dinim, both the din where the menorah should be placed, and that the menorah should be there all the time. Ask the Gemara, why are we concerned that the shulchan can become tameh, and then we won't be able to use it? But typically, the kli eitz ha'osil nachasu, the shulchan is a keli that's made out of wood, with the intention that it remain stationary. And the halach is, the kol kliyetz osu lenachas, any wooden vessel that's made to remain stationary, like metama, is not mekabel tuma. My tama, why is that the reason? Why is that the halacha? Says the Gemara, domi the sakbinim. The pasuk says, mikol kliyetz o begeroi or a sak. The Torah compares a kliyetz, a wood vessel, to a sak. Ma sak, what's the characteristics of a sak? Metal the moly merekin, it can be moved both when it's full and empty. Ask call metal the moly merekin, it can be moved when it's full or empty. So the shulchan is made to stay in a place. Why is it not considered? Why is there even a question of it becoming tummy? So firstly, the Rishonim point out, why is the shulchan kept in one place? Because the halacha tells you to keep it in one place. Say to Mephaiskin, from here we see that even if it's something kept in the place, because the halacha tells you to keep it in one place, it's still considered stationary. Ask Tosfos, what do we mean when we say that the shulchan is kept stationary? Whenever the mishkan moved, the shulchan moved along. So one Teretz Tosfos says, is that the Gemara is referring here to the Noiv and Kishiloi and Givoin and the Beis Hamikdash, where once they were built, the shulchan remained there. It's not going to the mishkan. Another Teretz, is that when the shulchan moved, another text that Tosfos gives, that when the shulchan moved, it didn't move itself, it moved together with all the other kalim. That's not called something that's meant to move. Meant to move is when it's meant to move by itself. Another teretz that the Tosfos Rosh gives, along the same lines, very nice teretz, he says that a shulchan, when it's moved, When they moved the shulchan, when they moved from one place to the other place, it wasn't because the shulchan, if I have a table, and I want to use the table, but I don't want to use it in this room, I want to use it in the next room. So I move it. Here they didn't move the shulchan because the shulchan is more usable to me in that room than it is to this room. They moved it because they're moving. That's not called something that's moving. Interesting to note, there's a minchas chinuch. Minchas chinuch says, that tzlach says, we learned in this perek, a concept of chivas ha-kodesh machsharton. That anything that's kodesh, even a kodesh food, even though we've learned so many times that food, in order to be susceptible to tumah, has to become moist, by kodesh that halacha doesn't apply. Why? Chibas ha-kodesh machshartan. Because of the chshivas, because of the significance that it's kodesh, that makes it susceptible to tumah. Says the tzlach, that refers to anything that was in the base of Mikdash. Because it's kodesh, it's automatically susceptible to tumah. Says the Mechaz Chinuch, I'll show you that the tzlach is not right. Because Amar is asking that the shulchan is not susceptible to tumah because it's intended to remain stationary. What are we going to say to chibas hakodesh mechsharton? And must be that, says the Mechaz Chinuch, that we don't say chibas hakodesh mechsharton to non-food items. The Masham uses this concept for halach l'maisa shayla. He was asked by students in a university who are kahanim, or allowed to enter the university, there were mummies in the university museum. Mummies are dead people. They give off tumah. Is a kohen allowed to enter such a museum? So he said that they were kept in large wood cases that were always closed. So it was a kli etza osu l'nachas. A kli etza osu l'nachas. Nama kabo tumah. The thing is the Gemara. Hai nami metaltam alavarekam. So the Gemara's question is, why are we worried about the shulchan getting tumah? It's meant to keep stationary and it's a wood keli. Answers the Gemara, this shulchan was meant to be moved. Kedrei Shlokish, as the Shlokish says, Damer Shlokish Maidik Siv, Al Shulchan Atar. The Torah calls the Shulchan Tar. Mechlal Shu Tamei. It's obvious that it can become Tamei. The question is, Vamai, how could the Shulchan become Tamei? Isn't it clear, Oy, Tzahos, Lenach, it's meant to keep stationary, Ve'en Mekabal Tamei? Says Rish Lakish, Al Malamich Magbin Isai, one every yontif they would lift it up, or Marambay La'ilar Agolim Lechem upon him, they would show all the people that came to Yerushalayim for yontif the Lechem upon him, Varmamahem, they would tell them, Ruchi Baskal Fneim Makam, look how beloved you are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Seluka Kisadurai, that the bread is warm and fresh a week later when it's taken out on Shabbos, like it was when it was put on the Shabbos before. There was a tremendous nace made with the lechem upon him. The way it was put in, that's how it was put in fresh, that's taken out fresh. It kept warm. So the Mefarshim all try to understand. The Ritva discusses this, the Radvaz discusses this, Taisus is discussing this. How did they know that the bread is warm? How did they show that the bread is warm and fresh? So there's a number of pshatim. One pshat is that they waited for Shabbos of Shavuos, a Shabbos of Yontif, because every Pesach and Sukkot have to have a Shabbos, it's 7 days. So on Shabbos, when they took out the lechem upon him, they would take it out, and the smoke was still coming out from the lechem upon him to show how fresh it was. And that's how they proved to everybody that the lechem upon him is still fresh a week later. What about Shavuos? Shavuos is only a one-day yontif, and it's not necessarily on Shabbos. So some say where the Gemara says early regalim, it means Pesach and Sukkot. It doesn't mean Shavuos. But I saw from Rabbi Gedalia Shor a very interesting thing. He says that in Europe, they used to speak about the Shabbos after Shavuos being special. And nobody understood why made Shabbos after Shavuos being special. So he says the Masham once was by the Chartkva Rebbe. And the Chartkva Rebbe asked, what made Shabbos after Shavuos so special? So he said, it's this Gemara. He says that even if Shavuos came out during the week, they would all stay in Eretz Yisrael till after Shabbos, so they could see how they took out the lechem upon him, and it was fresh. Other Mefarshim have a different shot in the Gemara, that even though we learned, started the Shir, that the Shulchan had to be kept tamid in its place, for this special occasion on the Shalosh Regalim, they would take it out from its place and show everybody how the bread was fresh. Either when they distributed it, they could see that it was fresh, or that the smoke rising, as we said before. I saw that the Rabbi Eliyahu Gutmacher explains What was the point? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show us that he loves us, why did he show it to us with the warm, fresh lechem upon him? So he says a beautiful pshat. He says, what happened when Klai Yisrael went to be Oyel Regel? And being Oyel Regel didn't mean just getting on a plane or in a car and going up to Yerushalayim. It was a big trip. Everybody would leave everything they had at home, their businesses, their homes, their farms, their animals, leave it all and go up to Yerushalayim, the time it took to get there, the week that they spent Yontif there, the time to get back. And during such a long interval of being away from home, people could get nervous. What's going on with my business? What's going on with my property? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm the one that gives panasa. I'm the one that could keep bread fresh for a week. Don't have to worry about panasa. It all comes from Hashem. Ask the Gemara, what are we discussing that the Shulchan is not susceptible to Tumah? Because it's made to be stationary. It's a Kli Eitzos L'Nachas. But didn't it have a gold plating? And as the Gemara is going to prove now, once it has a gold plating, it's not considered Kli Eitz. This halacha, that there's a difference if it's stationary or not, is only by Kli Eitz, not by Kli Matchis. So here we have the plating, and the plating is crucial. The Tanan, there's a Mishnah Masechta Kelim. Hashulchan, a table. Vadufki is like some sort of a chair. They didn't use it for sitting. They used it to put food on. Shenifchasu, that was reduced. Or shechipam b'shayish. Or they were coated with stone. Now, stone is not makabel tuma. However, v'shayibam mokam hanochas kaisis. They coated it, they plated it with stone, but they didn't plate the entire vessel. They left over enough place that they could put cups on it. Tamei. It's still makabel tuma. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, you have to leave over makam hanochas katichis. The amount of room to put on pieces of bread and meat. But as Rashi explains, what do we see? That even though it was completely coated with stone, but if there's some room left over, it's not considered a stone keli. Certainly, lechumra, if a keli is coated, is plated with matkes, with gold, it's not considered a wood keli. It's considered a metal keli. So certainly it's makabel tuma. What's the whole discussion here? Says the Gemara, and if you want to suggest, you'll say that the wood that was used to make the shulchan was atzei shitim, a very expensive wood, and they, even if they're coated by gold, it's still considered a wood keli. Says the Gemara, Hanicha, Rishlokish could subscribe to such a svara. Domer, because Rishlokish says, only wood kalim that come from overseas, that was a cheap wood. So them, if you coat them, we follow the coating. Ab kli mismim, which is an expensive wood, loy batli, even if you coat them, we don't follow the coating. Shapir, so we have a good way of explaining our shulchan. That even though it's gold plated, since it's expensive wood, it's considered a wood keli. El Rabbi Yochanan Dama. No matter what type of wood, how significant the wood is, if it's coated with a metal, it's considered a metal keli, mayikul meimer, says the Gemara, the chitem, so maybe you want to suggest something else. Kam bet sipi oimid. It makes a difference, there's a few ways of explaining this, how the plating is applied. Maybe the plating is only considered the keli when it's applied with nails, so it's completely connected to the keli. But if it's not connected with nails, it's just like a plate on top, it won't be considered a plating. Or another way of explaining the difference between Tzipi Oimid and Tzipi Shein Oimid, the Rishonim say, is the difference how thick the plating is. When is a coating considered significant? When it's a thick coating. But the coating of the Shulchan was a thin layer of gold, and therefore will not be significant. And we do actually have this concept very relevant l'aloch l'maisa. The aloch is kli cheres. When you buy kli cheres from a non-Jew, you don't have to be toivlet. There's no din of tefillas kalim. Glass, there is a din of tefillas kalim. So why when you buy china do you have to be toivlet? Because it has the glazing, which is glass. So that comes on to the question, does a thick layer of coating or a thin layer of coating make a difference? And the Gemara says, does it make a difference? What kind of coating? Does the rim have to be covered? or does it have to be coated even the rim? Vamalei, loish number tzipi einud, loish number tzipi shein einud. Doesn't make a difference what type of coating. Loish number chayfas lavzavav, loish number shein chayfas lavzavav. It doesn't make a difference if the rim is coated or not. So we're back to our question. Why is there a discussion? If the shulchan is mekabel tuma, of course it's mekabel tuma. It's gold-plated. It's a gold keli. A gold keli is always mekabel tuma, even if it's made to be stationary. Says the Gemara, even though the shulchan was gold-plated, the shulchan is considered a wooden keli. El shani shulchan, the Rachmana karyates, the Tariyak Gedosha calls a shulchan a wood keli, even though it has gold plating. The ksiv, as the pasuk says in Yecheskel, hamizbeach eight sholosh amos gavaya, va'arka shtei amos, u'mektsois loy va'arka v'kirois of eights. So the pasuk clearly calls it a wood keli, and therefore, even though it has a gold plating, that is not a factor. But the pasuk continues, v'yedaba elai zeh shulchan shlefnei Hashem. Ask the Gemara, pasuk b'mizbeach. This pasuk is difficult to understand. It begins with the words mizbeach, the sign b'shulchan. It ends with the word shulchan. Is it, are we talking about the mizbeach or are we talking about the shulchan? Answers the Gemara. Rav Yochanan Rav Shlokish Damer Tavayu. Bezman Shebeis Hamidosh Kayim. When the Beis Hamidosh was standing, mizbeach mechapel adam. The mizbeach is what brought us forgiveness. Achshav shulchan shel adam mechapelav. The shulchan that we eat by brings kaparas avoinus. And the Rishayim give many different pshatim. How does a shulchan bring kaparas avoinus? One pshat the Rashi says is hachnosas archim. We invite guests to our table. That's how we have kaparas avoinus. Others say we say divrei Torah by our shulchan. That's how we have kaparas avoinus. And in fact, these two pshatim are alluded to in a pasuk. The pasuk said bechesed veemes yichupar avon. Chesed means doing chesed. Emes is Torah. Moshe emes v'sarah emes. By doing chesed at our table, and by saying the very Torah at our table, Yechuper Ovan will have kaparas avoinus. Another pshat that I saw from the Gra, he says that Shulchan stands for the four ingredients that were in the Ketoris. Shulchan is Chalboina, Levoina, Notif, and what's the Shin? Shechlayim. Those are the four ingredients that were in the Ketoris. Those four ingredients in the Ketoris are the same as a shulchan. And another pshat that I saw, beautiful pshat, is that here we're saying that eating is a good thing. That's what brings a kapara. And we're used to understanding that fasting is what brings kapara. And I was saying just the opposite. So I saw a beautiful pshat. There's something known as the Tainus Harivet. We know, as I just said a moment ago, that through fasting we can have kapara. But the question is, people can't always fast. It's hard to fast. Says the Ravid, there's something even better than fasting. He says, if you're in the middle of eating something that you really enjoy, and then you stop in the middle, and you're held back, you don't finish the steak, you don't finish the piece of cake. That's called the Tainus HaRavid, and that brings Gevaldige Kapara. Shulchan Shel Adam refers to the Tainus HaRavid. While you're eating and you stop, that's called Kapara Savonis. And we know that this Gemara is the basis for a number of halachas. The halacha is that you're always supposed to have salt on a table, because just like on the Mizbeach, they always had to have Lysazbis Bris Melech. They always had to have Melech on the Mizbeach, so too they have to have salt on the table. This is also why the Rishonim say, when we say Birchas HaMazon, we're not supposed to have a knife on the table, because the table we're saying is compared to Mizbeach. And regarding the Mizbeach, it says, Lysona Falei and Barzel, you're not allowed to put metal on the Mizbeach. So when you're eating, you need a knife, hopefully, to eat. But when you're benching, you don't need a knife, so you should remove it from the table. Although the Rishonim say another reason why one should not have a knife on the table by benching, because one time somebody was benching, and he came to Vnei Yerushalayim, and he remembered that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and he got so distraught, he took the knife, and he stabbed himself. So from that, they made that the knife should not be on the table when one says Birchas HaMazon. I saw from the Shalos HaTshuva space Avi, what's the nafkamina between the two pshatim? The nafkamina between the two pshatim will be a plastic knife. If it's because like son of Alain Barzel, a plastic knife is not Barzel. If the concern is that you could do harm to yourself, you probably could do harm to yourself even with a plastic knife. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah said, comes back, everything had a backup, And then the Mishnah said they were not concerned about Tumah by the Mizbeach. Mizbeach and Nechoshes. Why are we not concerned by the Mizbeach and Nechoshes, which is the Mizbeach and the Azara? Says the Marduk Siv, Mizbeach Adoma Tassili. It's considered the Mizbeach Adoma. Mizbeach Azov. Why are we not considered by the Mizbeach Azov for Tumah? The Siv HaMenoir of HaMizbechais. Ishkos Mizbechais Zelazer. The Torah compares the two Mizbechais. The Mizbech inside the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbech outside the Beis HaMikdash. So we say that the Mizbech outside to the Beis HaMikdash is not susceptible to Tumah. Therefore, the Mizbech inside the Beis HaMikdash also is not susceptible. The Chamayimim, Mnei Shem Metzupim. Chamayim said, because they're coded. Ask the Gemara, Adarabat, based on the Gemara we just learned, Kivan the Metzupim Nenu, if these Mizbeches are coded, or the Mizbech Zav is coded, Metamu, that should be more reason that it should become Tamei. Answers the Gemara, exactly, that's what the Mishnah says. Chom Metamim, the Chom say the Mizbeach Hazov is susceptible to Tumah. You know why? Because it's gold plated, and as we explained on Daf Chavav of Mabez, something that's gold plated is susceptible to Tumah. Vibay Seima, another way of explaining the Rabbanan. Rabbanan or Rabbi Lezer Kamri. Rabbanan are having a dialogue with Rabbi Lezer, and they're saying to him, my Dapach, what are you saying? That it should be, what do you want to be concerned? That it should be susceptible to Tumah, Mishun the Betzupim, because they have this gold plating? It's not a concern. Miftal Batal Tzipuyin Gabayu. And as Rashi and Tosfos explain, since the Torah calls it Mizbech Adoma, even though it's gold plated, we use the same concept that we use by the Shulchan. That even though it's gold plated, since the Torah calls it Eitz, considered a Kli Eitz, same thing by the Mizbeach. Even though it's plated, the Torah calls it a Kli Eitz, and if the Torah calls it a Kli Eitz, it has the dinim of Kli Eitz, and it's a Kli Eitz that's meant to stay stationary, and therefore is not mekabel tumah. Ends the Masechta. Amar b'lo, amar b'loza. Tamid ha-chachamim ein or shel gehenim shaletus behem. Tamid ha-chachamim, the fire of gehenim will not affect them. Kavachamim salamandra. There's this creation called a salamandra. Rashi says that it's made out of a place where there's fire burning for 7 years without interruption, that is impervious to fire, and not only is it impervious to fire, if you coat something with a salamandra, oil or blood, it cannot be burnt. Says the Gemara, Ma'at salamandra, Shetol Seishi, salamandra is created from fire, as we just said. Hasoch midoma, if somebody smears its blood on an item, Ein or shaletus bay. The fire cannot affect it. Tamid chachomim shakol guf anesh. Tamid chachomim are shtick fire. The ksiv haloik dvorai keesh nor mashem. Torah is compared to fire, and tamid chachomim who learned that Torah are considered a piece of fire. Alachs kam v'kama gehenim cannot affect them. Amri shlokish ein or shal gehenim shaletus the pashi Yisrael. Gehenim cannot affect the pashi Yisrael. Kavachomim is bechazov. Kavchaim from the Mizbech Azov. Ma Mizbech Azov. Shein alav el k'uvi dinner zov. On top of it, there's only a very thin layer of gold. And it was on that layer kamishonim. The Mizbech Azov stood for hundreds of years. Still, eight or shalotis ba. The fire couldn't affect it. Posh Yisrael. Shemalayim mitzvahs karimoim. That they're full of mitzvahs like a pomegranate. The ksiv, as the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim. Kefela harimon rakoseich. The empty ones among you, alachs v'kam v'kam, the fire cannot affect anyone. So there's a number of questions to be asked. The first question is, Tosfos speaks about it, and others discuss it. Here the Gemara says that the Pashi Yisrael don't have to worry about Gehenim. So the question is, why not? The Pashi Yisrael. And on the other hand, the question is, the Tzadikim, the Gemara says, don't have to worry about Gehenim, because we compare them to the Samandra. Why would a tzaddik have to worry about Gehenim? He's a tzaddik. So Tosfos says, when we speak about Pashi Yisrael, it doesn't mean Pashi Yisrael begufan, which is, so to speak, a higher level of a Baal Aveira. Such a person is going to Gehenim and will certainly be affected by Gehenim. We're talking about a person that did Aveiras, but not that many. He will be protected, but he'll go to Gehenim, but it won't have such a powerful, detrimental effect on him. And on the other hand, when it says tzaddikim won't be affected by Gehenim, so one pshat is, again, tzaddikim also don't mean that they never did an aveira. There's always somebody that does, everybody does some sort of aveiras. But when they'll go to Gehenna for those aveiras, they won't have to be concerned. Another pshat that I saw from the Belzer Rebbe, very nice pshat, is that a tzaddik in this world had people who were his talmidim. He says he had people who they were his chassidim. But those people who were talmidim and chassidim weren't necessarily on the same level as the tzaddik was. When this tzaddik leaves the world, and he'll come to the Olam HaEmes, on the way to Gan Eden, he schleps out of Gehenim all of his talmidim. And because they were attached to him in this world, he's able to take them out of Gehenim. So when he goes into Gehenim, he doesn't have to worry that the fire of Gehenim will affect him. Mepharshim discussed the Mishnah, the Gemara ended, the Pashi Yisrael Malayim Mitzvahs Karimayim. What does it mean, Malayim Mitzvahs Karimayim? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that the Rimayim has a lot of seeds, but the seeds remain inside the fruit. They don't come out. The difference between a tzaddik and a non-tzaddik is that a tzaddik is full of Torah and mitzvahs, but he attempts to influence and be mashpia on others. The other ones keep it inside. They don't try to influence positively their other people. Another pshat is malayim means to be satiated. We know that a tzaddik, when he does mitzvahs, when a tzaddik learns Torah, he wants to learn more Torah. He wants to do more mitzvahs. Mitzvah gereres mitzvah. What is the concept of a rasha? Malayim mitzvahs. They're full. They think that they already did enough. They're already satiated. They don't need to do any more. So Gemara here says that the Talmidei Chachamim are like a salamandra, and the Rishonim are like the Mizbech Azov, that the fire didn't affect the Mizbech Azov. So if Rashi asks, you know why maybe the Mizbech Azov wasn't affected by the fire? Because they smeared salamandra on the Mizbech Azov. We said that anything that you smear the blood of the salamandra isn't affected. So maybe that's why nothing happened. So one pshat that I saw is, the Torah says, "Betzipisa oisazov." The Torah gives us clear instructions what we may and use for coating the Mizbech. It doesn't let us use the salamandra. They could have never done something the Torah doesn't give them permission to do. Another pshat that I saw is that the salamandra only works on protecting fireproofing people. It doesn't fireproof utensils. It doesn't fireproof items. He was saying that the Mizbech Azov should be shmir with the salamandra. Salamandra would not help for Mizbech. But then I saw two more terutzim. The Mepharshim say Tosfos is really bothered with this question that we just said. Because Tosfos, the Rimaskel salamandra, goes out to say that the salamandra is a non-kosher sheretz. Why is Tosfos saying it? Because they couldn't have used something non-kosher to put on the Mizbech. So why do you want to say that they put the salamandra on the Mizbech? Can't be. They wouldn't have used something that's not kosher. Then the last Tosfos discusses the fire on the Mizbech. So Mepharshim want to understand, why is Tosfos all of a sudden here trying to describe this fire? But now we could understand. What could the salamandra fireproof for? For regular fire. A regular fire, the salamandra has the ability to fireproof. But the fire on the Mizbeach wasn't your regular fire. It was an Eishmin HaShamayim that doesn't burn in a normal fashion. That the salamandra doesn't protect. So that's why the Gemara could have never suggested that the Mizbeach Azov didn't get affected by the fire because they put the salamandra on it. But just to end, the Masechta, to end the Seyed HaMoyed, the Mepharshim should make an interesting observation. Let's look at our Gemara. The Gemara compares Talmidei Chachamim to the salamandra. And the Gemara compares the Rekonim Shabbach, the Pashi Yisrael, to the Mizbech Azov. Does that make sense? Shouldn't we say that the Talmid Chacham like the Mizbech Azov and the Rishonim are like the salamandra? So one pshat that I saw is that the salamandra is a lot stronger of a fireproofing than the Mizbech Azov. The Mizbech Azov wasn't burnt by the fire, but it got hot. Whereas somebody who shmir with the salamandra, it doesn't even come close to him. He doesn't feel any heat. So Gemara is saying a rasha is like the Mizbech Azov in Gehenim. He'll get hot. He won't get burnt. A tzaddik won't even feel it. But then I saw a different pshat. What the Mizbech Azov that it didn't get hot from the fire, that it didn't get burnt from the fire. What does that mean? It was a nice. It wasn't something that we could understand. Like the Gemara says, there's fire burning on the Mizbech all the time. And nothing happens. It's a nice that somebody smears himself with salamandra blood and doesn't get affected by the fire. That's not a nice. It's like if you fireproof anything with the right material that causes fireproofing, so then that's not a nice if the fire doesn't affect it. That's what the way it's supposed to be. That if Russia doesn't get affected by the Eish El Gehenim, that's a nice. He should have gotten affected, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a nice. that a tzaddik doesn't get affected by the fire of Gehenna, that's not a neis. That's what he deserves. Because what is the difference between a varosh and a tzaddik? The pshat of a tzaddik, which is really the pshat of Seyda Moed, to take a regular weekday, a Monday or a Tuesday, and it turns into a yontif. It's not just a Monday or Tuesday. It's a Rosh Hashanah, it's a Yom Kippur, it's a Sukkot. We learned all the Yom Tov in Baruch Hashem. We can infuse Teva. We can infuse the everyday with Kedusha. That's what a Talmud Chacham can do. And that's the lesson of Seyda Moed. The Talmud Chacham is like the Salamandra. He can infuse regular days into being Yontif days. And not only Yontif days, every day can be infused Kedusha by learning Torah. And as we just said, when one learns Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him mitzvah, gereris mitzvah, that he wants to learn more Torah, and that turns him to tzaddik, what the Gemara tells us, is protected from all tzaras. Hanu l'chaim v'kaydir shlik lach masafta chagiga. So it's taking us after apples.